The catechism question this week is number 72. What is forbidden in the seventh commandment? And the answer is the seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. And this is very similar, except for in the converse, to our answer to what was required in the seventh commandment. And it brings us back to that idea of chaste heart, speech, and behavior, or in this case, unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. Meaning that we need to have desires that are trained and regulated and motivated by the one true desire, the one true pleasure, desire for the Lord and enjoyment of His goodness. And that in all of the good things that He has made, that it is first of all to be Him that we enjoy. And then second of all, there are right ways and wrong ways of enjoying the good thing. And third of all, that there is a right intensity or proportion and a wrong intensity or proportion of that desire and pleasure. So basically, all of our pleasures, and especially here focused on the pleasure of, the enjoyment of marriage, your specific spouse whom the Lord has given you as the stipulations that we've been seeing in 1 Timothy have it, that a man is to be a one-woman man, or a woman is to be a one-man woman. In other words, the Lord's particular selection of His wife or her husband is what she is enjoying as she enjoys, not the pleasure in and of itself as if it's this kind of disembodied separate entity, but that a woman is to be enjoying his wife in the pleasure and therefore enjoying God's goodness to him in appointing to him and giving him in his providence his specific wife. And the same thing then for the woman. And so we see that this goes not just to the actual action, but thoughts about and words about enjoyment. So we are to have all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our actions that have to do with pleasure, and especially the enjoyment of one's wife or one's husband, regulated by pleasure in God, the purposes of God for marriage, and the precepts of God. Against this are anything that would lead to or encourage untrained thoughts. Untrained thoughts, for instance, about romance. Romance is not something that is to be thought of or enjoyed in a way that is disconnected from your particular wife or from your particular husband. The idea of a romance novel is, or romance in a novel that stirs up thoughts and feelings about that and that brings you into or brings you to enter into the romantic affections and experiences and exhilarations of the characters and so forth, is a direct stirring up of unchaste thoughts. And any words that that you would use or that somebody else would use with you to stir up such thoughts towards you, what people call flirting, and they even use the wicked phrase, innocent flirting, as if there was such a thing. These things also violate the seventh commandment. They are the indulgence of and the stirring up of unchaste thoughts. Any acting in pairings off and repairings off, as you will often have in societies of children and youth, and they talk about boyfriends and girlfriends are going steady, or so-and-so likes so-and-so, and they think they are being cute, but they are making light of and playing around with unchaste thoughts, words, and actions, even such things as dances and balls, where you have these pairings in which the two are connected and coordinate, and there's even the tension in people's hearts and minds of who their partner is going to be for this dance and who their partner is going to be for the next dance. And it leads even to the stirring up of desires that come from the flesh of hoping that you will get a particular partner for a dance or something like that. And it's like, oh, well, it's just fun. Well, it's not trained by pleasure in God. It's not seeking the purpose of God in that pleasure with the one who is your spouse. It is untrained. It is not single-minded for the enjoyment of him himself. It acts in the moment as if these are things to be played around with and enjoyed in the imagination. Those are unchaste thoughts. And the words about them are unchaste words. And the actions involved in them are unchaste actions. One of the great ironies is that just because these things were done long ago in times when the culture of our nation was not so degenerated as it now is, those who have seen some of the difference between now and then think, oh, it must be better. But those who are our spiritual forebears, those who would have been memorizing the same shorter catechism, 72, and teaching it to their children, they hated those things in those days. They knew that those things were used of the devil and were the seemingly harmless worldliness that many other Protestants were happy to do. But they knew that those things belonged to that worldliness that is enmity with God, that pleasure that is not driven by enjoying God and his good gifts. And so that which was in those days rightly recognized and avoided by those who have the same biblical and theological and spiritual convictions that we do now, is now celebrated by those who will learn and repeat the same catechism questions and answers as you do. But don't you let yourself feel like you are missing out because you are trying to be careful with your thoughts and your words in order to be careful furthermore with your actions. You do not miss out on anything good by not reading those books. You do not miss out on anything good by not attending those dances. What you miss out on is doing those things that are forbidden in the seventh commandment. Because what is forbidden in the seventh commandment is answered by the seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste, not trained single-mindedly in the purity of the pleasure of God according to the precepts of God to fulfill the purposes of God. The seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions.